In the gradation of the essence, it was pointed out that the mind is superior to the function of speech, of which all the names are manifestations, because from the mind proceed all psychological activities and everything that is expressed through speech, etc. But behind the mind also there are forces which are more concentrated in their nature. And by an analysis of the activities of the mind, we would realize that behind the activity of any specified thought, there is a creative will operating as the directive intelligence. This will is called sankalpa. A determination in the mind precedes the action in the mind. So, sankalpa or will is prior to the general thinking faculty of the mind. Sankalpo vava manaso bhuyan. Sankalpa or will, which is creative in its character, is superior to ordinary thought. Yada vai sankalpayati atha manasyati atha vacha mirayati tamu namni irayati नामनी मंत्राः एकं भवन्ति मंत्रेषु कर्माणि. When there is a will or a determined activity of the psychological organ, there arises the general thinking of the mind. Then follow the expression thereof by means of speech, name, and the like, of which the mantras of the Vedas are specific modifications. Everything that we speak or utter or recite or chant is a form of speech, and the quintessence of speech in its most sacred form is the body of mantras called the Veda. The mantras of the Veda direct themselves to specified actions. By means of the injunctions provided through the sacred texts called the Brahmanas, of which the mantras are prior forces, directive intelligences. The mantras imply within themselves indications as to how they are to be utilized in a particular performance. So actions, karmas, which lead to specific results and then consequent experiences in life, are all rooted in the hints given in the mantras themselves, which are specified modes of the expression of speech, which again is rooted in the mind, which is directed by the will, the creative intelligence. So this is the gradation. Everything is rooted in the will, ultimately. The will is a general term which comprehends within itself any kind of specified intention, whether it works internally in the individual's personality or externally in nature. The Upanishad tells here that everything has a specific intention behind its very existence itself. Even the five elements, the space and air and fire and water and earth, are specified forms of an ultimate creative will. their manifestations in different intensities, and the difference in the intensity of their manifestation is due to that differentiating character which is inherent in each of these elements. That differentiating character is the will hidden behind them. The will to be, the will to live, the will to exist, and the will to maintain an individuality is the power which distinguishes one element from the other. Otherwise, there would be a merger of the elements and one would not be different from the other. Sankalpe pratishthitani sankalpatam dyava prithivi sankalpetam vayuscha akashascha samakalpata apascha tejascha tesham sankalpati varsham sankalpati varshas sankalpati annam sankalpati annasya sankalpati prana sankalpanti prananam sankalpati mantra sankalpanti mantranam sankalpati karmani sankalpanti karmanam sankalpati loka sankalpati lokasya sankalpati sarvam sankalpati sa esha sankalpaha sankalpamupasva. There is nothing in this world, in all creation, which is free from a self-assertive will, self-determining power. So will is a universal power. Anything that asserts itself in a particular manner is called will. And this self-assertive nature is found in every atom of creation, in the heaven and the earth, in the wind and the space, in fire and water, and in the further modifications in our own body, such as the working of the pranas, and their further motivations like the recitation of mantras, which, as has been pointed out already, become responsible for the actions that we do and the results that follow therefrom. The whole world, therefore, is rooted in a will. The world is will, in generality as well as particularity. In certain forms of generality, the will becomes a content of our awareness. When it becomes too general, such as the will of God, for instance, it is not the content of our mind. But however, the will is behind everything, is the point that is driven home about here. Therefore, Narada is instructed, higher than the mind there is the will, and now to the extent your will can reach, to that extent you direct your meditation or contemplation. Yaha sankalpam brahmeti upaste sankalptan vai salokan dhruvan dhruva pratishthitan pratishthita avyathamanan avyathamano bhidhyati yavat sankalpasya gatam tatra asya yatha kamacharo bhavati yah sankalpam brahmeti upaste asti bhagavah sankalpad bhuya iti sankalpad vava bhuya asti iti tanme bhagavan brabitu iti. The will, therefore, has to be contemplated upon as absolute in its operation. So this is a series of meditations on the absoluteness of possible realms of being. And one who contemplates in this manner or practices meditation in this way attains to regions which are capable of access by the extent of the will applied in these forms of meditation. One becomes fixed or rooted in one will, in one's own will, and that which one reaches or experiences by means of these meditations also become equally firm or firmly fixed. They are not transient as the other things of the world are. The person who is rooted in such a will is not distressed in any manner whatsoever. And the regions that reaches also are free from any kind of distress. to the extent of the reach of your will, you shall achieve success in this world. And your success therefore depends upon the intensity of your will, the comprehensiveness of your will, and the clarity of your will. To that extent you are free, you are successful, and you enjoy life. To that extent you are free, yatha kamachara bhoti. This is the result that follows from meditation on the content of a will to the extent it can reach. Narada queries, is it all or is there something more than will? Yes, there is something more than will, says Sanat Kumara. But what is that? May I listen to it? Great Master, please instruct me further beyond will. The will, no doubt, is a determining psychological function. But the will cannot operate unless there is a cohesive force behind the functions of thought. Will is nothing but a collected focusing of the content of the mind. When it is directed in a particular manner, in a specified way, focused in a particular direction, we call it a will. But this function of the mind, which we call the will, would not be possible unless there is another capacity which you call memory. A person who is bereft of memory cannot remember what happened 1 second before, cannot divert the will in any particular manner. Because the capacity of remembrance or retention of experiences and the ability to maintain in one's own mind an awareness of the target towards which the will is going to be directed. All these are necessary before the will rises up in the mind. This function, which is precedent to the rise of the will, is called chitta. It is a mind stuff, as we may call it. It is the very basic root of all psychological functions. So, Narada, there is something more than will. Will is a specific manifestation. There is a generality behind it. That is chitta. Chittam bhava sankalpad bhuya. Beyond the will is sankalpa, chitta, or the power of memory and retention. Yada vai chedayate atha sankalpayate. Only when you have presence of mind, only then can you direct your will. Atha manasyati, then you think, then you speak, then names are manifest from that, then there are specific modifications of speech, mantras, etc., and the actions proceeding therefrom, then the results, etc., in chain. Tani hava etani chittai kayanani chittatmani chitte pratishthitani tasmat yadyapi bahuvid achitto bhavati nayamasti teva ahu. Everything is rooted in memory. All learning is ultimately memory. Because it is the retention in the mind of whatever you have seen or heard or thought. Whatever be your learning, if your memory has failed, people say, this person is nothing. Yadyapi bahuvid achitta bhavati nayamasti tyeva evam ahuhu. Whatever be your learning or education or acquisition of knowledge in its extensiveness, suppose you have lost all memory power, it is as good as nothing. So it has vanished from you. Oh, this person is nothing. He is nothing, people began to say, because he has lost his memory and his mind does not function. So memory is very important. Yadayam veda yadva ayam vidvan na itham achittasyat. If he had learnt really, why should he not remember anything? People pose these questions. He says he is very learned, but he cannot say anything. He says, I cannot remember anything. Then what sort of learning is this? So they repudiate the very learning of the person merely because of the absence of memory in that person. Atha yadi alpavit chittavan bhavati tasma eva uta shushrushante. If you have strong memory power, whatever you speak is able to carry conviction because of the power of your memory. And then people begin to listen to that person, not the other person who calls himself learned but can remember nothing. Chittam heva esham ekayaram chittam atma chittam pratishtha chittam upasva. So the rootedness of personality is ultimately chitta, or the mind stuff, the capacity of memory. It retains in itself all that is valuable in the form of one's learning or in the form of any type of experience in life. Therefore, Narada, we have to hold that chitta or memory is superior to the power of will. So contemplate the content of the chitta as superior to the will, and let that be your meditation. Yas chittam brahmeti upaste chittan vaisalokan dhruvan dhruva pratishthidan pratishthido vidhamanam vidhamano abhisiddhyati. The expansiveness of the chitta is larger than the content of the will, and therefore one who meditates on the content of the chitta attains all those realms which are capable of being reached by the very operation of memory, and then one enjoys an identity of oneself with those realms on account of such meditations. One becomes free and successful to the extent of the operation of one's memory. Let that be your meditation, and this is the stage to which you have reached now by way of analysis and practice. So Narada is highly satisfied, but puts the question again, is there anything beyond memory or chitta? There is something beyond that also. Though the chitta is superior to the other functions mentioned, it is also inferior to something beyond that, namely the power of concentration. That is superior even to ordinary memory. It is a superior faculty. The more you are able to concentrate your attention fixedly, or rather to meditate in the proper sense of the term, to that extent you become superior to every other function of the mind. So Narada, dhyana or concentration or meditation is superior to memory merely. Dhyanam va vachittad bhuya dhyayativa prithivi dhyayativa antariksham dhyayativa dyauh dhyayativa apaha dhyayantiva parvataha dhyayantiva deva manushyaha tasmat ya iha manushyanam mahattam prapnuvanti dhyana pada asha ivaivate bhavanti atha ye alpaha kalahina pishuna upavadina te atha ye prabhavah ध्यानापादाः दशाः इव एव ते भवन्ति ध्यानमुपास्य इति. कॉन्सेंट्रेशन इज द फिक्सिटी ऑफ द माइंड एज इज वेल नोन, एंड वेर एवर यू फाइंड अ स्टेबिलिटी ऑफ एनी काइंड और फिक्सिटी ऑफ एनी काइंड यू मे डिस्कवर द प्रेजेंस ऑफ कॉन्सेंट्रेटेडनेस. Here the passage of the Upanishads goes to say that the earth contemplates as it were on account of its stability and the fixity of character. You do not see any kind of chaotic activity in nature. There is a stability maintained by the various orders of nature. The heaven and the earth themselves are contemplating or meditating as it were in a fixed form without creating any kind of confusion between themselves. You see the earth and the heavens and the waters, even the oceans, the sun and the moon and the stars all maintain their position due to a concentratedness of their purpose inherent in their very nature, brought into action by forces, of course, which will be superior to be mentioned further. Whoever has attained any kind of greatness in life has achieved it only through the power of concentration. Whether it is a god or a human being, success is due to the power of concentration of mind, applicability of the mind. The application of thought in a particular direction is the cause of success. The tenacity of the mind in a given direction and a persistent effort in that direction only, without deviating the mind from that given thought, that is concentration. The whole-souled absorption of the thought in a particular objective, to the exclusion of any other thought, this is concentration, this is dhyana. It is by this action of the mind that people have attained greatness in this world, not by any kind of distraction of thought. If you start thinking 100 things, you will achieve nothing. You apply yourself to one thing wholly, apply your soul and heart to it, and then you see you succeed. So this is the importance of power of concentration. But those who lack power of concentration and application of thought, they are the quarrelsome people in this world. They are the disturbers of society. They are the people who carry tales. They are the dregs of human nature, you may say, but not those who have power of concentration of mind. They are applied wholly to their purpose to such an extent that they have no time at all to engage themselves in useless activity. Those who are filled with the capacity to concentrate, they are the great ones. Narada, therefore, apply yourself to concentration and meditation, which is the collectedness of thought in a focused manner, in a given direction, for a specific purpose. Yaha dhyanam brahmeti upaste, yavad dhyanasya gatam, tatra asya yatha kamacharo bhavati, yo dhyanam brahmeti upaste. It is difficult to explain what grand results will follow by the practice of concentration. As a matter of fact, yoga practice is nothing but concentration in various degrees of its manifestation. And as the Upanishad has beautifully put it, nothing in life has any sense or meaning where concentration is absent. Hence, you become free, liberated from bondage, and succeed in life on account of the extent of success you have attained in the practice of concentration of mind. So, dhyana is superior to everything that has been mentioned earlier. Narada, this is the stage you have reached now. So apply yourself to concentration, dhyana, meditation. This is the absolute for you. This is Brahma. Great master, is there something greater than dhyana? Anything superior to dhyana or concentration? Yes, there is something. Because you cannot apply yourself to concentration unless you understand what concentration is. So understanding is superior even to the application of thought in the form of concentration or meditation. All the pros and cons of concentration should be clear to the mind first, before mind is applied to the activity called concentration. On what are you going to concentrate? You don't understand. You simply try to concentrate meaninglessly. That will not lead to success. The processes of concentration, the methodology of meditation, the purpose for which the mind is directed in concentration, the problems that one may have to face in the practice of meditation, all these have to be understood beforehand. This understanding is naturally superior because it precedes the very activity called concentration. Vijnanam bhava dhyanat bhuya, understanding is superior to even to the action of concentration. Vijnanena va rigvedam vijanati yajurvedam samvedam atravanam. He gives the entire list mentioned by Narada. All this learning that you have, Narada, is a kind of understanding. You have applied your thought to the analysis of these objects, and you have grasped their implications in a clarified manner. So, you understand very well what I mean. The capacity of the analytic intelligence always precedes the activity of the mind in the form of concentration or application of thought. A point you very clear to understand. All things, the five elements, every branch of learning, gods and human beings, animals, birds and what not, virtue and non-virtue, truth and untruth, good and bad, the pleasurable and the non-pleasurable, everything conceivable in life assumes a meaning on account of an understanding that is attached to it. The meaning that we discover in life is nothing but the understanding of that particular aspect of life. If understanding is absent, meaning also is absent. When meaning is absent, nothing is present. Vijnanam bhava dhyanat bhuya vijnanena va rigvedam vijanati yajurvedam samvedam atharvanam chaturtham itihasa puranam panchamam vedanam vedam pitriyam rashim daivam nidhim vako vakyam ekayanam devavidyam brahmavidyam bhutavidyam kshatravidyam nakshatravidyam sarpadevajanavidyam divam cha prithivim cha vayum cha akasham cha apascha tejascha devamscha manushyamscha पशुश्च वयांसि च तृणवनस्पतिं स्वापदां कीआ कीटपतङ्गविपीलिकं धर्मं च अधर्मं च सत्यं च अनृतं च साधु च असाधु च हृदयज्ञं च अहृदयज्ञं च नाम अन्नं च रसं च इमं च लोकम् अमुं च विज्ञानेन विजानाति. दिस् इस् द ट्रेमेंडस लिस्ट् आफ् एवरी ब्लेस्ड् थिङ्ग् इन् द वर्ल्ड्. ऑल् दीस् थिङ्ग्स् हेव् मीनिङ्ग् ओन्ली बिकास् आफ् द अण्डर्स्टाण्डिङ्ग् दट् इस् बिहैण्ड् दम्. The determining factor of the value of any object whatsoever is the understanding behind it, the knowledge that is behind it. The capacity of the knowing subject is superior to the character of the object. Therefore, may understanding be the object of your meditation. Vijnanam upasva. स यः विज्ञानं ब्रह्मेत्युपास्ते विज्ञानवतो वैसवकान् ज्ञानवतः अभिसिध्यति यावद्विज्ञानस्य गतं तत्र अस्य यथा कामचारो भवति. टु द एक्सटेण्ट् आफ् द रीच् आफ् युवर् अण्डर्स्टाण्डिङ्ग् टु दट् एक्सटेण्ट् यु एन्जाय् लैफ्. द पवर् दट् यु एक्सर्ट् इन् लैफ् पर्सनलि आर् सोशियलि आर् एनी अदर् वे ईस् ड्यू टु द एक्सटेण्ट् आफ् युवर् नालेज्. A person with knowledge or understanding is powerful, you know very well. And the power proportionately depends upon the depth or extent of one's understanding vijnana. So, this is far superior to all other principles mentioned earlier. This is beautiful, but is there something more than understanding? So Narada is inquisitive to know what is above all that he has understood up to this time. Now, Sanat Kumara tells something very interesting. Mere understanding in a theoretical form is no use. It is like a mere application of theory in one's own brain, inside one's own mind, without any corresponding object behind it. Also, there is a need to connect one's understanding with the realities of life. It should not be a mere abstract contemplation of thought without any solid content inside it. Further, the connection between one's body and one's intellectual capacity is well known. Subjectively, there is a need to bring about a blend of understanding with the bodily condition. Objectively, of course, you know very well that understanding should have a proper content. It should not be mere theory. Now, the subjective aspect is emphasized here when the sage Sanat Kumara says, strength or power is superior to understanding. Balam vava vijnanat bhuyaha. By strength he means a very general form of a blend of the functions of the mind with the functions of the body. When the body and mind come together, there is an energy of a superior character. Suppose a person has only a mind but no body, he will not be able to exercise his thought effectively. A weak body, which is emaciated, about to die, sickly, may not be able to exercise thought as required. Also, of course, mere body alone will not do. It requires a mind also to animate it and to give it a value. So, bala or strength is the union of the power of the psyche with the power of the body, subjectively. And objectively, the union of consciousness with its object. So, strength or power is superior to everything mentioned earlier. A person who is strong can defeat 100 people with mere understanding without strength, says the Upanishad. Vijnanavatam eko balavan akampayate sayada bali bhavati atha utthata bhavati uttishthan parijarita bhavati paricharan upasatta bhavati. The commentators of this passage tell us that this has a specific reference to the condition of a disciple in relation to the guru whom he serves. Well, that is only one aspect of the interpretation. A student is supposed to serve his master or his guru. And this capacity to serve the guru would not be there if his body is emaciated, without food, starved out, and looking rickety, but he has got great power of thought, understanding. The service of the guru would not be practicable. If the strength of the body also is coupled with understanding, then he can stand up, uttata bhavati, then he can serve, paricharet, then he can approach, upasatta bhavati, then he can see what is the ideal before him in his student life in the vicinity of the Guru, drashta bhavati, then he can listen to what the Guru says, shrota bhavati, then he can understand what the Guru says, manta bhavati, then he can understand and apply it in his own meditation, bodha bhavati, then he can do exactly as the Guru says, karta bhavati, then of course his understanding becomes complete, vijnata bhavati, balena vai prithivi tishthati. Now again, the master says that strength seems to be the reason behind the stability of the elements, such as the earth, the atmosphere, the heavens, everything that is in this world maintains its position on account of a strength that is present in it. So strength is a general term indicating power, not merely physical strength, but a power which is the outcome of a combination of knowledge with its content. Gods and men become successful on account of the strength that they possess. This is the success of the animals, pashava, birds, etc., etc. The whole world rests on the basis of strength of some sort or the other. Balena lokastishthati, balam upasva. Whatever you think that you become is an old adage. So you contemplate that you are a very weak person, a finite fellow, capable of nothing, unwanted by people, thrown out here and there, very poor, then naturally due to the self-hypnotism that you impose upon yourself, you may turn out to be that. But contemplate the capacity that is within you, hidden within you, the potentiality that is in you, the strength which is, need not be imported from outside, but which has only to be generated from within by a proper coordination of the principles of your own personality. So strength is an automatic outcome of the proper functioning by way of coordination of the limbs of the whole personality, psychic as well as physical. Such strength is your heritage, you merited on that. Sayo balam brahmetyupaste yavat balasyagatam tatra asyatha kamacharo bhavati. Yo balam brahmetyupaste asti bhagavo balad bhuya iti balad vava bhuyo asti iti tanne bhagavan bravitviti. To the extent of your power, to that extent you are successful. It is a simple truth. Is there something greater than strength? That which gives strength is superior to strength. That which gives you strength is metaphorically called here Anna. This is a peculiar term occurring many times in the Upanishads. Anna is etymologically, of course, food. Anything that feeds the other is called food. It may be rice, it may be barley, it may be wheat, it may be anything else. It can be even a psychological substance. Anything that is contributory to the sustenance of something is called food. Sometimes matter in its generality also is called food in the language of the Upanishads. So in that sense also we can interpret the word Anna mentioned here. There is a combination of the objective and the subjective in the generation of any kind of power. It is not one aspect alone that works when there is success in life. Success is due to the application of some strength of action, you know very well. But this strength does not come up to the surface of one's consciousness or experience unless two aspects combine, the objective and the subjective. It is not true that the object alone works independently. It is also not true that the subject alone works independently. There is a mutual blend of these two aspects. Without air we cannot breathe, but without lungs also we cannot breathe. So this is to give you a gross example of how the subjective and the objective both combine. So is the case with everything that happens in social life. We live by coordination, cooperation, mutual amiable understanding, and this applies to every realm of being and every type of action. The coming together of the forces of nature in their correlativity with the powers that are in the individual. This is the source of strength. When you are harmonious with nature and the forces of nature are in harmony with you, you become a strong person. So this feeding principle is the element that is responsible for the generation of strength. That is the food. And that is what is called anna here. Annam vava balad bhuyaha tam apadyapi dasharatrir nashniyat yadi uha jived athava adrashta ashrota amanta abodha adartha vijnata hoti. He has given a very small example of how food is the source of strength. Don't eat for 10 days and see your capacity. He says, you will live of course, you are alive, you are a human being, you are a jiva, but you cannot see, you cannot hear, you cannot think, you cannot understand. Because you have not eaten the food. The objective element has been taken away and only subjective principle is living there. Prana is there, but food has gone. So, you immediately feel elated the moment food comes near you. Anasya aye drashta bhavati, shrota bhavati, manta bhavati, bodha bhavati, karta bhavati, vijnata bhavati, annam upasva. As we go further and further, we will find it is more and more difficult to understand the intention of the Upanishad. They are very cryptic in their language. Even the Sanskrit that is used is very archaic, giving way to various types of interpretation. But the general background of the thought of the teacher here seems to be that there is a necessity to rise gradually from the lower level of comprehension to the higher level of comprehension. Here, by comprehension, we mean the capacity of consciousness to include within its being, not merely within its thought or understanding, the reality that is outside. The more is the extent of the reality outside that gets absorbed into one's own being, the more is the power one can exercise over that realm of reality. This is the point, of course, that will be clear to anyone. Power is not merely imposed by any kind of ordinance or mandate. It is an outcome automatically that arises on account of one's identity of being with the extent of reality with which one has become one. So this is the point that is driven into the mind of the disciple by the teacher, and he concludes by saying, though this is true, and this is the way you become strong and powerful, and so I advise you to contemplate this aspect of strength as the object of your meditation, because to the extent of the application of this kind of power, you will be successful and free in that particular realm of your contemplation. There is still something more than that. Annam brahmeti paste annavato vai salokan jhanavata abhisidhyati yavadanyasya gatam tatra asti yatha kamachara hoti yaha annam brahmeti paste asti bhagava annad bhuya iti annad vava bhuya asti tanme bhagavan bravitu iti apo va annad bhuya. Now we are taken from the realm of particulars to the realms of more and more of generals. It is very clear from the fact that water is supposed to be superior to anna or food, as mentioned here. The intention of the teacher is that food is not merely the food that we eat. It is entire material content. The whole of earth element is the food. That's why he says water principle is superior to the food principle. Because everything that is solid has ultimately come out of liquids. This is something known to everyone. Liquids are prior to solids. The whole earth in its solid form has come out of a liquid condition. Not only this particular earth, but everything that is material in content, everything that is solid in nature, anywhere in the whole astronomical universe, was originally in a liquid condition. The liquid was once upon a time in a hot, gaseous condition, and so on and so forth. There are subtler and subtler causes and precedents behind the grosser and grosser expressions thereof. So, Narada, this thing that I called food, as superior to everything that I mentioned up to this time, is the element of matter, the entire objective universe in its solid form, superior to which is the water, the identification of the water principle with the ultimate reality of things is a common way of explaining the nature of the origin of things in our sacred scriptures. Apa eva sasarjado tasu viryam avadrijati, etc., etc., are known to us. We say originally it was all water. Though it need not necessarily mean that the original waters were the liquids that we see in this world, and perhaps they were some sort of an undifferentiated state of things. It is towards that end the mind is being taken now by being told that superior to the solid is the liquid, superior to the earth is water. Apova annad bhuya tasmad yada suvrishtihi na bhavati vyadhiyante pranaha. Life would become impossible if the liquid principle is not present. If there is no rain, there would be no food. The earth will get parched out of substance and it will not be fertile. The capacity of the earth to produce foodstuff would be nil if there is not to be rain. The coordination of the liquid element with the solid element is therefore necessary to produce that element called food. People start weeping and crying, oh, there is no rain, it is all drought. the living beings feel distressed on account of the absence of foodstuff caused by the absence of rains. Vyadhiyante prana annam kaniyaha bhavishyati. They say there is no food, it is all dry. Yada suvrishtir bhavati anandita anandina prana bhavanti. When there is rainfall, people, all animals, whole of nature, the whole plant and vegetable kingdom becomes luxuriant with joy. Bahu bhavishyati. Annam bahu bhavishyati. Iti apa eva ima murtaha yayam prithvi yadantariksham yadyauhu yadyavanushyayat padavashtavayam sicha. Whatever has been mentioned earlier repeats once again, saying that everything is dependent on the element of water for sustenance, inasmuch as that in turn is the cause of the food, by which all beings live. Now, this is evidently a subtler form of meditation that the Master is prescribing, not necessarily a meditation on the ocean or the rivers or the water principle that we see in the world, but a subtler element that is prior to the manifestation of the solid matter. To be conceptually conceived in meditation, though physically cannot be perceived. As I mentioned, as we go further and further, things become more and more difficult to imagine. What he intends is that you must be able to conceive of the subtler principle behind the earth principle. You must be able to contemplate the subtlety that is prior to everything that is solid and material in its content. That means to say, now you are gradually rising from the physical level to the conceptual and the psychological level in meditation. Hari Om Tat Sat.